Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
I've come to a conclusion that maybe I'm a little too dependent on Google. You know, you want directions, what do? Google. You want to know how to fix something, you go to YouTube, which is also owned by Google. You want to know, what's the actor's name in that movie that we watched? You go to Google. You know, we live in an age where we have information right at our fingertips all the time. You want to know how to fix something, there it is. You want to know how to make sourdough, it's there. You want to know how to learn basic Italian by noontime, it's there. It's all this information is there for us. But you know what? We do have a problem in this information-rich society we live in because we have a flood of information, but we're starving for wisdom. Because wisdom is not just knowing something. Wisdom is knowing what to do with what you already know. It's putting it into place in their lives. And, you know, we can have our minds full of Bible verses and still make foolish decisions because we've not brought it down to the wisdom level. You know, we can come to this place where we know all about relationships, but we can still wreck one. We can have big chunks of Proverbs, you know, committed to memory and still spend ourselves into debt. What we need is know this, and this is an important concept. Information can fill our heads, but wisdom is what fills our lives. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, this thing of wisdom. And we're going to talk about walk in wisdom, and because that goes back to our theme we've been looking at. Walking is that progressive, next step, daily, regular thing we go through. We're not to visit wisdom, we're not to admire wisdom, but we're to indeed walk in wisdom. May God help us to do that. And one of the great things about this understanding is knowing this. Where you walk and how you walk does determine where you end up. So let's explore this a little bit today. And if you go down to verse 6 of chapter 2 of Proverbs, we run into this little verse. The Lord gives wisdom. We can just stop and say amen and be thankful for the rest of the day for that. He is anxious to deliver wisdom to us that we desperately need. We do have a source. We do have access to wisdom. We do have this in front of us. So we have this great promise. The Lord gives wisdom from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Now, there's some promises you can hang your hat on, right? The fact that God wants to grant us this kind of wisdom. Let's think about where we're going to get that wisdom. But before we do, let's take a moment or two and talk about, I want to just hone in exactly on what is wisdom, all right? So this verse reminds us, the Lord gives wisdom. We know it comes from Him. So wisdom ultimately begins with God in a relationship with Him. And again, wisdom is not just intelligence. It's not just having a few life hacks. It's the practical use of God's truth that comes directly from His mouth. You can be the smartest person, most educated person, the most brilliant person, the highest IQ person, the biggest big brain person you ever could imagine. But without this connection to God, you're going to lack this fundamental reality of wisdom and how to put this into life. And that's what we want to think about today. So this is all in terms of letting God guide us in our choices, our relationships, our actions. And if you want one final thing that's going to help us maybe understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom, it's simply this. Knowledge is knowing the stove is hot. Wisdom is not touching it. Okay? So just think that too. It's like there's one thing here, one is action, okay? So let's just plow into this. And I want to direct your attention to chapter, same book, Proverbs, but Proverbs 28. And we're going to do a little bouncing around today, and that's kind of part and parcel of this book of Proverbs. You sort of have to do it that way. And I'm going to take just a moment and kind of, if you're not real familiar, or maybe we need a little refresher on this book of Proverbs, maybe that would be wise for us to do today. Proverbs is really a collection of wise truth. The first nine chapters of Proverbs is a series of dialogues set in different settings. There's one where the father's speaking to a son, and it's this long dialogue giving him direction and how to avoid, you know, entanglements in life and all these sorts of things. So you're listening in on a conversation. So that's one way of communicating. And then chapters 10 through 31, it's not a dialogue, it's a catalog. It's just a grand collection of all these statements of wisdom on all different subjects, all sort of mixed together, and we can find subject matter that helps us. It's a hard book for us preachers to deal with because we want to put things logically and sequentially, and this is sort of like, you know, it's like all the truths just sort of dumped out. It's like those blocks, you know, when you used to play with when you were a kid, had the letters on them, just kind of all dumped out, and you got to stack them back up. So it's a catalog of great truth. But it's a great book to become aware of what God wants to share with us in wisdom. One of the great things that some of you I know have practiced over the years, but there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and the maximum number of days in a month is 31. Now, of course, we're in February where we have a little abbreviated month, but read a proverb a day, and you'll finish the whole book in a month's time. Just start over and over again. And the great thing is, no matter how many times you've been through it, there's something still there for you, okay? So first of all, I want to zero in on verse 26 of 28, 26, where we find this warning. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. There's that phrase, walk wisely, okay? So point number one is this. We need to avoid this trap, and that is the trap of a self-designated wisdom. In other words, what I think is wise is wise. What I assume to be true is true. The way I want to go is the way to go. Because he's saying to us right there, whoever trusts in his own heart. Now, that runs counter to so much of society, right? I mean, how many Disney movies did we grow up on? Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart, and it'll all work out. And I suppose there's some positive in that, except it denies a basic reality that we know from the Scriptures. Every heart is wicked. Every heart is wicked. And that's the reason we need a Savior to come in and start changing us from the inside out, to change our judicial position before God, to take God's judgment away and grant us salvation, but also then that process of changing our minds into thinking a different way, which leads to us behaving a different way, and it leads to a life of honoring God in the way that we should, all right? So he who trusts his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. The word delivered means spared from all sorts of trouble. Most of the trouble you and I have gotten in life, we go back and somewhere along the line, you have to say these words, what was I thinking? And sometimes you need to reorder the wording is, I was not thinking, but just reacting. So we got to avoid this self-focus. So our culture tells us, you know, what you need to do is just go out there and just do it your own way. And I will tell you, this is a little bit stinging. It's a little rebuking. You can't always trust yourself. Be careful with that. So here's the reality that we have. And Jesus gets into this in Luke chapter 6, in part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you know, you have the ability to see a speck, like a grain of sand-sized speck in someone else's eye. You can see that. You need to do something about that. You're in fault. You're in danger. You got to correct that. Then Jesus used this very hyperbolic language. At the same time, you're missing that you got a chunk of lumber in your own eye. Okay, that's the way he describes it. So you're missing the obvious that you have in your own issues, but we're expert at finding everybody else's issues. And that just illustrates this reality that we have a faulty system without God involved. We can see other people's spending mistakes. We can see their issues, their relationship issues, all these sort of things, but we miss it in our own lives. Self-designated wisdom sometimes sounds like this. I've got this. Been there, done that. I know what I'm doing. Let me do a blanket statement. I can plead guilty to all the things I'm about to read you, okay? I've got this. I don't need advice. I know what I'm doing. This worked for me last time. Have you ever been there? I got away with it last time, so surely it'll work the next time, right? Been there, done that. This proverb says that trusting your heart without God's guidance is foolishness. And foolishness is the absolute counterpoint with wisdom, all right? Sometimes we think, I really thought by the time I'd get this age that I'd just sort of be this wise old sage and just have life all figured out. I got to tell you, I maybe made a little progress. Maybe I've got on my feet a little bit, but there's still so much more that we need to keep growing and learning. And what we need to do is understand this, that we need to not just grow older. You know, sometimes we think if I grow older, I grow wiser, but what we need to do is to grow in wisdom. And where does that start with? It starts with what comes from God's mouth. That's what it said in 2:6. It comes from His truth. And you've given up your day. Some of you had to scrape ice off your cars today. Some of you had to start it up and put on about 3 extra layers to get here this morning. So thank you for your effort to do that. But you're hearing in the Word. Some of you are joining us online. I know a number of you have already seen a number of your comments that you've commented that you're watching with us today. We're happy that you're doing that. Glad we have this way to stay connected when circumstances keeps us apart. But you know what? You're given your time to understand God's Word. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the start of wisdom. This relationship we have with Him. If we would just remember, in every issue of life, every moment of life, every crosswalk of life, every crossroads of life, that we'd stop and say, what I need in this situation is wisdom, and the wisdom doesn't come from me. It comes from God who speaks to all of us, okay? So let's keep that in mind. And I think you would agree with me. I'm going to assume you agree with me. You can nod if you want to. But our lives would be a lot less stressful and chaotic if we just took that one step of realizing that I'm not the one who's the smartest in this situation. And the grand thing is, you have immediate access to the God who knows everything and is the God of abundant wisdom, and He wants to give it to you. If we're not picking up His wisdom and putting it into life, it's because we left the gift lying on the table and didn't pick it up because He's put it there for us, all right? So go back to chapter 13 with me for just a moment. I told you we'd do some running around. And by the way, literally, we're not even scratching the surface of all that Proverbs itself says about wisdom. We're just sort of picking a few points. So first of all, we have to reject the fact that I know everything. I got to have God's input into my life. Number 2, 13 and verse 20. And this again goes back to our concept of walking. This is the regular, repetitive, common, default setting of life, all right? Number 2. He who walks with the wise will be wise. If you do life together, you hang around with, you interact with, you spend your time in the presence of people who are wise, you will also take on some of that wisdom from them. And then, as often is true in Proverbs, He gives you this and then He gives you the opposite. All right, here's the contrast right there. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. As blessed as the first part of that verse is, it goes from joyous, relaxing, comfortable to absolutely terrifying in one verse. It's not just you might have a few bumps in life. It might be a little more difficult in life. It may take you longer to get to know. It's destroyed. You can destroy your life by the people that you allow access into your life. By the way, I think this message could be subtitled, Been There, Done That. I think all of us could just say it that way. You know, we've all been there where we've let someone else influence us and pull us in. It's interesting, 2 of the dialogues in the first 9 chapters are directed to men, and particularly young men. And it warns about how we can get in trouble with not being pure and, you know, being adulterous and all those sorts of things. And if you go and read it, 5 and 7, all right? Every man should on occasion, by the way, because it's right there in your face and tells it how it really is, not how it presents itself to be. But anyway, hanging around other people is what we need. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Notice, first of all, the word walks, okay? The word is relational. Who you walk with shapes who you become. You become like the people you hang around with. I would suspect most of us in this room, our first language is English. Could I assume that? You can nod if that's true. There's a reason that you speak English as your first language, and some of us, we're just monolingual people. You know, people that speak 3 or 4 languages, I'm just sort of in awe of them. But there's a reason you speak language, because when you were a little kid, when you were just a toddler, you hung around English-speaking people. And when you took a drink of a clear liquid and they said, that's water, that's the word you picked up and you incorporated that into your vocabulary, and you've been calling that clear liquid that you drink all the time water ever since. You just pick it up. You know, we teach writing and reading by going through school and curriculum. We pick up language just by the people that we're around. We just pick it up. God made us so that we just intake information and process it, and it orders our lives. Now, in many ways, that's a good thing. But he says here, we need to make sure we walk with those people who are wise, all right? That you don't wake up somewhere all deep in debt, all alone, disconnected from family, all those things about that could destroy our lives that he's talking about in the end of that verse. So here's the reality. We need to understand that the circle of people we're around matters. Now, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. This does not mean that we cut all people who are not followers of Christ out of our lives, all right? But we want to be careful. If those people are influencing us in a negative way, then we need to take some steps to protect ourselves, all right? This is not isolation. This is simply to be wise in the influence. And the question comes down to, am I being of some influence in their life for God and for the gospel, or are they being influenced in my life that's taking me in the wrong direction? We need to be very careful about what we intake, because we live most of our lives just sort of on autopilot about our influences, all right? You know, if you're reading a novel, you're binge watching that show online or whatever it is, or the literature you read or the things you study, be careful, because we need to make sure that we examine what is the underlying philosophy behind that. What is the thing that they are trying to normalize? What is the thing that I'm seeing depicted that should never be part of a godly person's life? And we just get so used to it that we become influenced. So we simply need to make sure that we understand that we're not walking in the wrong direction. And we need to assemble and surround ourselves with people who love God, who speak the truth, and live out that truth in integrity by their using wisdom. By seeing people live in wisdom, who are, that's immediately transferable and influential in our lives. Just seeing how they do it, how they observe it, how they react to things in life. You know, because maybe they're in an experience where they're doing something that you're experiencing for the first time and they've been there before. We need to do that. That's one reason why I love how God puts the church together. I mean, we have people in our church, newborns, toddlers, kids in school, kids in university, college, you know, starting out life, middle-agers, those of us. I'm going to stop the list there because it gets older. We have people in our church past 90, several people past 90, still active part of our church. That is a breadth of experience that we can draw on and find comfort in to interact with people in the family of God. And we do that through small groups. We do that by being together. And sometimes you can just do that simply like, hey, you know what? Can we get together sometime? Let's get together and spend some time. You know, can we meet and have a hamburger together, have a cup of coffee, whatever is the correct thing for you guys. I'd choose the hamburger over coffee, but that's me. But just get together and spend some time interacting. Make sure you surround yourself to it. Let me just say as plainly as I can, and I think this is a diagnostic. Show me your closest relationships, and frankly, I'll show you your future. Isn't that true? That's not a jest quote, by the way, but I don't know who it is, so I'll just quote it anonymously. But I loved it. Show me your closest relationships, and I'll show you your future, because we become like those people we hang around with. All right? Number three, chapter 22. And get into verse 17. Number three, apply God's word. Simple as that. Apply God's word. That's number three. It says here in this verse, 22:17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. Now, there's three verbs in that verse, and I want you to look at each of them carefully, all right? First of all, incline. You know, if you're having trouble hearing something, you kind of bend over and kind of get your ear up there. That's what it means. It means to lean into. You really want to hear what's being said. I don't want to ignore it. I don't want to assume it. I don't want to have a casual understanding. I want to really take this in. Okay? Number two, hear. Really hear what is being said. Make sure you got it, have it correctly. This is what we do with the Word of God and what we do with all truth coming in. And then lastly, this word apply. Use it to do something in your life. You know what the biggest tragedy could be this morning for all of us? This is true every Sunday morning. This is true every Sunday evening. It's true every time we're in a group, every time we open the Word of God. The saddest thing to have happen is we've taken in this information. I know that Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's 31 chapters long. It has 9 chapters of dialogue. It has 10 through 31 chapters of, you know, that's all information. But we have to come to the point that when we leave, that this is something I can do differently or do as I've been doing. Either continue to do as I'm doing if I'm on the right track, or how does this fit in my life? How does this fit in my life? We should not let go until we get that. And a lot of the responsibility is on the person teaching, right? And those of us that do this feel this responsibility to try to make this practical, try to make this real life. But simply, we need to realize that this matters more than we know. I've known many people that had their minds full of theology, full of biblical data. They knew the stories. They had many verses committed to memory. And somehow, it never seemed to come out in how they lived their lives. The book of James says it this way: we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It says if you're a hearer and not a doer, he said you're like a person that looks at his face in a mirror and then walks away forgetting what he just saw. Why do you look at a mirror? You want to make sure everything's right, right? You want to make sure that the hair is combed and, you know, whatever you can do to have your appearance, you know, did the clothes match? Is there stain on my shirt? Whatever it is. We want to do a check on how we appear, right? And that's what the Word of God does. It's a check on how our hearts are, how our lives are. Just as if you look in a mirror and say, man, my hair is sticking straight up like I've got a hold of a high voltage wire. It's just out of control. Okay, and then you go away and you never pull a comb out of the drawer or get some of that stuff you put on there to keep it under control, whatever it is you have to do. It makes no difference that you looked in the mirror. If you looked in God's Word and you don't make some changes, it hasn't done you any good. So make sure that we don't let up until we have something. And sometimes we give you an easy outline and here's 3 quick steps and here's 2 tips to make you a better life and we can do all that sort of thing and that's helpful. Here's your assignment. Here's your homework. That's helpful, but it should be internal. My goal is to do something with this and take it away from there. You know, there's many of us who actually stopped hearing a long time ago because we assume when we open God's Word, we already know that. And maybe some of these verses are verses you already know. Even if it's the most familiar, the most simple thing you could hear, make sure that it applies to everyday life. And make it apply to those everyday decisions in life. Who am I going to date? How am I going to spend? What do you sign? How do you speak? When do you wait on things? When do you move forward? The Bible, this is also a quote, it's not mine, but I thought it was great. A little bit convicting. The Bible isn't just for emergencies and funerals. Frankly, there are some people in this world that that's about the only time that they ever want to listen to God. When there's an emergency, oh, Lord! When we have to say something about somebody because we know that there is an eternity after this life. And let me just take a moment and say this. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, whatever few religious words or spiritual words or even scriptural words are said over you after you're gone are not going to matter much to you, maybe to the people that are left behind. But what have you done with the gospel this side of that great meeting with God? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and it comes through this source, all right? Paul wrote it this way, through Jesus Christ our Lord. One source, one person, one Savior, one God, one Lord. And if you've never trusted in Him, or maybe you say, Pastor, I've heard people talk about getting saved and born again. I've heard that all my life. I don't even know what that means. Well, maybe it would be helpful to sit down with somebody and just have a discussion. They can show you not their opinion, but what God's Word says about what that means for you. If that's you, just contact me or contact one of us here at the church. We'll have that conversation with you. We can have it today if you want. We'd have it this afternoon. We'd have it this morning after this service. But if you're not in the place where you have asked and trusted and believed that Jesus is the one and only Savior and believe that His death on the cross paid for your sins, we would be willing to have that conversation with you to help you understand what it means. so that you'll come to that place that you're ready. Number four, ask for wisdom. We're going to jump way out of the book of Proverbs for this one. We're going to go to James chapter 1. And it's on the screen here. Just go ahead and bring that up. Ask for wisdom, James 1. But the reality is here, by the way, James has been described as the Proverbs of the New Testament, because it's the most Proverbs-like book in the New Testament, because it's a book full of wisdom, very practical truth, and very direct pointed truth. But this great verse says this, and it was too good to leave out, all right? If any of you lacks wisdom, what do? Let him ask of God, promise, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I love that verse because, first of all, it assumes something. If anyone lacks wisdom, we could all raise our hands in the air, right? It's not been there, done that. That's right now. What's he do? He says, ask. Ask. It's an invitation. We don't have to beg. We don't need to negotiate. We just ask. And it tells us how God responds. I love this word. He gives liberally. He gives generously. He gives abundantly. You want wisdom? I've got all you need. What do you need to do to get it? Ask. I can't make that complicated, even if I wanted to, and I don't want to. Just, you need some wisdom? Ask. Lord, should I do this or do that? Would you give me some wisdom? Guide me here. You're with me. Even if it's the most mundane thing in life or it's the most critical thing you've ever done in life, ask. God, it said, I love how it goes down there. And he will not reproach, without reproach, and it will be given to him. God's never going to say, you've asked me that before. I'm a little busy now. Shouldn't you be able to figure that out on your own? None of that. He just wants to give you wisdom. His promises for parenting, relationships, decisions, uncertain seasons of life. Wisdom doesn't come to us automatically. It doesn't come from within. It doesn't come with the wrong people, especially on the outside. The right people can influence us. But it always comes from God himself, and this is the God who says, ask. I'm going to give you a real quick summary. It's not on the screen. You just have to listen, all right? Four points, all right? Let me make this practical. Pause before you decide. Lord, what does your word say? Help me to walk in wisdom. I can't trust myself. Number two, invite godly voices into your life. That's that walk with those who are wise. Read scripture with application in mind. Lord, your truth speaks to me. What does this mean? I want to incline my ear. I want to hear. I want to apply. Number four, pray daily for wisdom and pray regularly for wisdom. Let me leave you with this thought. Wisdom is not particularly flashy. We all like a little hack, shortcut, that sort of thing. It doesn't always feel exciting. But wisdom is what builds strong marriages. Wisdom is what protects your future. Wisdom is what protects your heart. Wisdom is what keeps you close to God. I want to go back to that beautiful promise of Proverbs 28, verse 26, where he just talks about this, that God speaks wisdom into our lives. We began with that. Let's make sure today that we don't just admire wisdom, but we access it from the God who's willing to give it to us. May we walk in wisdom before him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for these dear folks that have given time to look at a few short verses, but with a profound thought. You are our God. You are the God who made every particle of every atom, of every molecule, of every substance, of everything that exists in this entire universe. You've created us, and you've made us with the capacity that we will exist forever. You know in our fallenness that you sent us a Savior, and that Savior can determine that our eternal destiny is with you. Lord, because of all that being real, you're the God of infinite, magnificent, awesome, all-powerful wisdom. Lord, we've lived enough in foolishness. We want to walk with God. We want to walk with you. And Lord, part and parcel of that is we walk in wisdom. Help us to just order our lives to seek that, to do that. That Lord, we'll make sure that the people around us are people who can speak wisdom into our lives. We don't trust in our own heart. That we seek to apply your truth. That we ask you for wisdom regularly. And Lord, if we would just order our lives that way, what wisdom would flood into our lives and what blessings would result. We know that to be true as we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.